That is the false gospel that's being preached everywhere. Another reason people can't take these warnings seriously is because they think the great falling away, first of all, it doesn't have anything to do with real Christians. It's only pseudo-Christians, fake Christians, wannabe Christians, cultural Christians, people who aren't really Christians. They're the only ones who can fall away. But on top of that, they also don't even know what it means to fall away. Okay, he's not using the term apostasia to denote a complete abandoning of the Christian religion or all things religious. He's not saying all these Christians are going to suddenly forsake their church programs and Bible studies and religious songs and spiritual activities, experiences, and return to their former pagan lifestyle, start going to the bars, and start shooting dope again. He used the term apostasy to signify a massive departure from the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. That's what apostasia means, a defection from or a forsaking of truth. It's not a defection from all things religious. It's not a defection from the Christian religion. It's a falling from true Christianity to a counterfeit Christianity. It's a falling from the true Jesus to a relationship with a counterfeit Jesus, because we're not recognizing the spiritual dimension of this Antichrist entity. When you realize just how much of the current Christian experience and how many doctrines in the churches originate with Satan and not God, it's frightening. That's why I say to people, you know, you don't have to wait until a global police state is erected and some politician is crowned king before you want to see the Antichrist. If you want to see the Antichrist, just go to church. That's all you got to do. The spirit of Antichrist is conquering the churches by the multitudes right now. Matter of fact, there's very few churches that haven't been conquered by now. That spirit is wearing out the saints and casting truth to the ground. It's setting itself up as a prince over God's people this very moment. It's casting the saints, the stars of heaven, to the ground and stomping on them tonight as we speak. It's removing the daily sacrifice, that's a true gospel, and casting down God's sanctuary right now. That spirit's overcoming many Christians in this hour, and it's going to continue to do so until Jesus personally returns and puts a stop to it. It's a very sobering hour we're living in, and people do not get it because they can't see the destruction that's happening. All the destruction and the mayhem that's going on is going on in the spirit realm, and it won't be manifest until people stand before the throne of God and are cast into hell. That's when all the destruction that's taking place now will be manifested. Right now, everything looks normal as can be. Summer's here, winter comes, everything's the same. It's hard to see that thousands and thousands and thousands of people are being destroyed eternally because you can't see it with the eyes. It takes a spiritual perception to understand what's going on. 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12. Paul says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in righteousness." And I will tell you that that's not talking about the unsaved world. That's talking about people who profess to be God's people. In this day and age, when the Antichrist is let loose, when Satan's off the chain, if you do not receive a love for the truth and stay tight with the Lord, you're going to be lost. If you don't receive a love for the truth that cleanses us, we're going to be lost. God will send us a delusion, and we will believe a lie if we don't receive a love for the truth. We've gone over that before, but it bears repeating. The mystery of iniquity, Paul says, has been hindered by the power of God for the past 2,000 years, but God, in the last days, God's no longer going to hinder it. He's going to let Satan off his leash. His power is going to be unleashed, and the spirit of Antichrist is going to come on the scene with all power and signs and lying wonders in order to deceive the elect, everybody, but especially elect. And at that time, the sacrifice is taken away. That means the gospel is turned into a counterfeit message, which leaves people just as deceived and just as lost after they've been, quote, saved and accepted it, as they were before they were, quote, saved and accepted it. See, that counterfeit gospel causes people to walk in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness because it's a perverted view of grace. Their definition of grace is you do nothing. The truth we need to receive a love for, I've said before, is not merely doctrinal truth, but more importantly, the truth about our own spiritual condition. We have to receive love for the truth of our own condition if we ever hope to be changed from the image of Adam to the image of Jesus. We have to see our own spiritual need and our problems, you know, our faults and our wrong motives, our wrong desires and everything. Okay, so we can see what's going on. And then we have to co-labor with the Spirit of God and take whatever measures are necessary, whatever he tells us to do in order to change our condition. But the whole concept of co-laboring with God is anathema to today's purveyors of the gospel of grace. See, because they view all co-laboring with Christ as trying to be saved by your own effort. They define co-laboring with Christ as salvation by works. Because according to them and their false gospel, we're not responsible for our justification. We're not responsible for our sanctification in any way, except to believe. See, when we start asking God to show us our true spiritual condition, so we can do something to rectify that condition, and we start co-laboring with him, then that's considered works by these deluded preachers. So if we see with love for the truth about their true spiritual condition, if they think God is responsible for everything about their salvation, and that if they do anything about their current condition, that's the same as performing dead religious works and trying to be saved by works and trying to be saved by your own effort and all that. It's impossible. Well, this false gospel, along with all the other errors that Satan has carefully laid over the last 100 years in the church, was meant for this time when the destruction is going to be going forth like just a wave. And there's no doctrinal underpinnings. There's no doctrinal foundation. There's nothing to stop the wave from just sweeping across the church, sweeping across God's people, because their doctrine's all screwed up. And so this wave of power goes forth, boom, 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 everybody goes down. There's nothing to sustain them, nothing to hold them, nothing to hold them back. Anything you try to do to hold it back, it's all works, 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 works. Daniel said that God would deliver the saints into the hands of the little horn. He just didn't say this devil would attack the saints and overcome the saints. He said God would deliver the saints into the hand of the little horn because of rebellion. And that rebellion is continually produced by today's false gospel of grace because it is a lawless gospel. It is a lawless gospel that does not require obedience. It only requires belief. As a matter of fact, this false gospel says that requiring obedience of God's people is the same as trying to be saved by works. And therefore, it breeds nothing but rebellion. That's all it can breed. We're going to read a scripture from Zephaniah. This is from the New NIV. Zephaniah 3, 1 through 4. Zephaniah says, "Woe to the city of oppressors, rebellious and defiled. She obeys no one. She accepts no correction. She does not trust in the Lord. She does not draw near to her God. Her officials are roaring lions. Her rulers are evening wolves who leave nothing for the morning. Her prophets are arrogant. They are treacherous men. Her priests profane the sanctuary and do violence to the law." That's a picture of what's going on right now. It wasn't just a picture of what was going on at the end of the last age, the age of the law. It's also a picture of what's going on at the end of this age. Just as the literal city of Jerusalem was rebellious and defiled, so today's spiritual city, Christians, are rebellious and defiled because they're arrogant, they're unteachable, and they're walking in rebellion. They're rebelling against God's commandments. They're rebelling against God's command to stay separate from the world. Rebelling against his commandment to separate from doctrinal heresies and from those who spread them. They're rebelling against his command to reject unscriptural religious practices and experiences. They're a rebellion against the need to be disciplined. They're rebelling against the need to take up the cross, to follow God daily, deny themselves. They're in rebellion against his command to cast away all the idols that are in their hearts and to make sure that he is before everything and every one. They walk in continual rebellion because they've been taught that even though they should obey God and it's good to obey God, they don't have to obey God. And anyone who says they have to obey God is preaching salvation by works. And if Zephaniah's words are not a perfect description of what today's perverted doctrine of grace has produced, nothing is. Just like Old Testament Israel, today's Christians obey no one. They accept no correction because they're taught to despise the very idea of required obedience. Oh yes, you should obey. You should want to obey, but you're not required to obey. Because if you're required to obey, then you're being saved by your own effort, your own works, your own obedience, not by grace. They're taught to despise the whole concept of the necessity of suffering. So if you suffer with me, you shall reign with him, Paul said. If you suffer with Jesus, you'll reign. If you suffer, you'll reign. Or what happens if you don't suffer? You're not going to reign. They don't believe that. They ain't worth flying the moon. They're taught that Jesus is their own personal genie who only came to give them their heart's desire. I mean, they're taught lies upon lies upon lies by ministers who are profaning the sanctuary. And ministers who do violence to the law. Not the Old Covenant law, not Moses' law. They're doing violence to God's commandments in the New Testament. They're telling the people they don't obey them. To put it very simply, these ministers of today who are preaching this false gospel, it's most of them, people, most of them, the vast majority of them, are helping the little horn to overcome the saints because they're teaching God's people to walk in rebellion and lawlessness. That's the gospel, and that's what saves you. And if you don't want to be one of the little horn's victims in this hour, then we need to do what King David did. We need to ask God to search our hearts, search our minds, search our motives, desires, and reveal the truth to us about us. I've preached enough doctrine in this room that if everybody walked in it, they'd go right on to perfection. Nobody in our group or who's had any exposure to me needs to hear any more doctrine. We've already presented enough of the doctrine and God's vision for the end time that if everybody just walked in it, they'd go to perfection. What we need to see is the truth about ourselves. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's Psalms 139. Lead me in the way everlasting. You know what that term means? You know how we're led in the way everlasting? We're led in the way everlasting as God reveals the truth to us about our own spiritual condition, and then we allow him to show us how to change that condition, how to change, purify our wrong desires, purify our wrong motives, lay down our idols, walk away from our sin. That's how we are led in the way everlasting. We ask God for a love for the truth, and then we ask God to show us the truth. And then we allow him to show us what to do about what he shows us. And that's the way of blessing. And it all sounds so simple, and technically, it is. Unless the person wants the reward and the fruit of change, but they aren't willing to pay the price that's required to achieve that change. Then you've got a problem. Then it's not simple anymore. And unfortunately, that's the way most of today's Christians are. That's the state most of them are living in, including most of those outside the system. They want Jesus to change them. They want to be a good Christian. They want to be an overcomer, but they don't want to let go of their unrighteousness. They don't want to let go of their evil desires, evil motives, their idols. As a matter of fact, they don't even want to see them. They don't even want to know what's in themselves. They don't want to let go of relationships that are destructive. They don't want to let go of certain possessions. They don't want to let go of personal honor, glory, prestige. You see, and it's that duplicity that opens the door to self-delusion. It's that thing where people say, "I want to be a good Christian. I want to be free. I want to be righteous." But they're not willing to turn away from the sin, not willing to let go of their idols. Not only not willing to do it, but they don't even want to see it. That kind of duplicity gets us in serious self-delusion. And the biggest problem I see with people today who want to walk in holiness, who want to walk in righteousness, the biggest problem they face is a lack of honesty with themselves and with God. They have all kinds of things that they not only love more than God, but have no desire to lay down or get free from. Yet they come before God and try to tell him, "Oh, they really want free. They really want free. They want purified. They want to walk in righteousness." Well, that's pretty stupid because you know God sees the intentions and thoughts of motives of our heart. Why would you go to a God who sees everything you are, sees right clean down to your belly button, and try to lie to him? That's dumb. Right now, it's extremely hard to walk honestly before God. You see, because God has not only turned the nations, but the church in the nations over to strong delusion. The word of the hour is strong delusion. Everybody's in strong delusion, whether it's political, spiritual, moral, I don't care what it is. Everywhere you go, people are totally deluded about themselves. That includes Christians. People walk around utterly convinced there's something they're not. They have absolutely no idea that the fantasy world they've created and the fantasy world they live in is not real. It's a lie. Somehow they create this external persona that has nothing to do with what you really are inside, nothing to do with what kind of person they really are. They live in that kind of persona, live in that fantasy 24/7. And after a while, they just really think that's the kind of person they are. They lose the ability to understand that they're really not that kind of person. It all becomes a blur, or it all becomes a delusion. And they walk around thinking, "Oh, that's what they really are." They begin to believe their own lie. And let me assure you, it's very easy to deal with God that way. It's very easy for you to come before God in that condition and ask him to help you and deliver you from things. It's easy to try and walk with Jesus while living in a false persona, while living a hypocritical life. be blind to it, totally blind to it. That's why we encourage people who are trying to walk in sonship or out here who are alone to find someone they can be accountable to. Because, you see, the unpleasant fact is most of the time when God starts dealing with our idols and the things we really love, we tune him out. We tune him out and we keep right on going as if nothing happened. We tune God out because we don't want to hear the truth. We don't want to pay the price. Yet we still see ourselves, we look in the mirror, as this wonderful, obedient Christian who loves God and has God first. We encourage people to find somebody to be accountable with, some other human being. You need another person or persons in your life, somebody you can see and hear and touch, who can help us see our true condition, because it's much too easy to ignore an invisible God. It's much too easy to tune out a voice that's speaking softly and gently to us. You know, if God came on us like a sumo wrestler and beat us over the head with a 2x4 every time he spoke, maybe it'd be different. If he ran a Mack truck into our car every time we disobeyed him, maybe things would be different, but he doesn't do that. He speaks softly, and he's invisible, and you can tune him out just like that and go on and never miss a beat. We need to be accountable to other believers because it's way too easy to ignore that invisible God and his still small voice. And people do all the time. Now, don't miss a beat. Go right on next morning, look in the mirror and say, yep, I'm still that great Christian. I'm still obeying God. Satan has been given power over all those who walk in iniquity, that is unrighteousness, in this hour. In order to keep from being overcome by him, we have to walk in true righteousness, not imputed righteousness, our own righteous acts and deeds, which come from a new nature. We have to walk in true righteousness. And the only way you can walk in true righteousness is if you receive a love for the truth about what is unrighteous in your life, so you can get out of your life, so you can walk in true righteousness. Only a love for truth will show us our own unrighteousness and give us a determination to get free from it. Walking in righteousness is not only necessary with regards to our spiritual survival, it's also necessary regarding our natural survival in the coming days, just as far as being Americans and surviving in natural. We believe judgment is coming on America. How soon, I don't know. But it's coming, and when it comes, God warns us in the Bible that the only place of protection when he judges a nation is righteousness, walking in righteousness. And again, I'm not talking about imputed righteousness. I'm talking about actual righteousness. In fact, I believe walking in actual righteousness is our New Testament ark. Like Noah had an ark, we have an ark, and that's our ark. I believe it's the secret place the psalmist refers to when he says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Psalms 91. That's the secret place, walking in righteousness. Listen to what Ezekiel said. This is NIV. The word of the Lord came to me and said, Son of man, if a country sins against me, this is not talking about Israel necessarily, any country, by being unfaithful and I stretch out my hand against it to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it and kill its men and their animals, even these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. Or if I send wild beasts through that country and they leave it childless and it becomes desolate so that no one can pass through it because of the beasts, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved, but the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword against the country and say, let the sword pass through the land and I kill its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even as these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons and daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into that land and pour out my wrath upon it through bloodshed, killing its men and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, even if Noah and Job were in it, they could save neither their son nor daughter. They would save only themselves by their righteousness. By their righteousness. When judgment comes on this nation, we won't be able to save our family. We won't be able to save our friends. You ain't going to be able to save your husband and your wife, your children, or anybody else. The only one we will be able to save at that time is ourselves. And that's only going to happen if we're walking in righteousness, actual righteousness. And in order to walk in true righteousness, you have to be clean from all unrighteousness. And in order to be cleansed from all unrighteousness, you have to receive a love for the truth about yourself, about your true condition. And that love for the truth has to be stronger than your love for yourself, than your love for your family, than your love for the idols and other things that are in our lives. So if we're wise, If you want to survive spiritually and naturally in these days, get before God and ask God to show you the truth about yourself. The truth about yourself. Where you're at really spiritually. Not where you think you're at. Not where you'd like to be at. Not where you wish you'd be at. Where you're really at. And ask him. And if you really want to know the truth, he'll show you the truth. And he'll show you how to change. But if you come to him lying and you don't really want to know the truth, you're just going to go through the motions so it looks like you're a good Pharisee. That's stupid. First of all, you're dumb. Why would you try and lie to God? And second of all, he's not going to answer because God doesn't deal in lies. He only deals in truth. So the secret to survival in this time is walking in righteousness. All right? And in order to walk in righteousness, you've got to be cleansed from all unrighteousness. In order to do that, you got to have love for the truth so God can show us what is unrighteous so we can change. Amen? Okay, that was it. Just a little exhortation tonight. Looks like Mom's standing here. She has something to share.
Hi, everyone. I was really impressed with that song Dan sang. Like a mighty wind, I am blowing through my house to cleanse and purify the sons of Levi. And I was reading in the book of Daniel this week. And just like all when Daniel was being told about these beasts and all these things that were going to happen, and it says that were going to happen in the end time. And in chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 7, it says, a man clothed in linen said to Daniel, when he, the Antichrist, shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people. And how is he going to scatter that power? Because they're no longer holy. They're walking in their own ways. And that's how he can scatter the holy people. And he said, all these things shall be the things of which he had shown Daniel. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Well, I believe this is the time of the end. And it says, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now there is a people that is being tried and purified. And there's some in this small group of ours who are going through some real bad tests and trials right now. But it's because God is trying to purify, make them white, and he's trying them to do this. And if you're not being tried, then you might be in that other group that the Antichrist has taken over. If you're not being tested and tried by God to walk in his holy ways, take care that you aren't in the other one. You know, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and always. Today I was reading in the book of Ezra. And I want to tell you something about the God of yesterday. When God raised Ezra up, it was at a time when Israel was very backslidden, disobedient, living in sin, and they had taken strange wives. They had taken wives of other nations who had other gods, which God warned them not to. And he said if they did that, he wouldn't be with them. He wouldn't take care of them. And so Ezra saw this picture. God showed him this picture of what had happened to his people. And he was heartbroken, and he wept, and he cried, and he repented. He repented for his sins and for the sins of his people. And he went before the people, and he told them that they took strange wives. That was the thing God was dealing with right then. They took strange wives from other nations who had other gods, and they were serving their gods instead of their real God. And the people saw what they did. The people repented and asked for help. And as Ezra went before God, God said that he would make a covenant with them. God would make a covenant with these backslidden people that if they would put away their strange wives and even the children they had to the strange wives, that he would be their God again. That wasn't easy. That wasn't easy for men who maybe had 6 or 7 children to their wives. That wasn't easy. But God told them to do it. God said, put them away. That's the only way I'll be your God. If you put away your strange wives and your strange children, I will not be your God otherwise. And so they made a covenant with God. God forgave them. That's the kind of God we serve. And he's still the same today. He's still the same today. If there's any strangeness in your family, put it away. put away all the strange things in your family if you want to come forth in the purity right now. That's it. Shalom.
Amen. Okay, right on. Thank you, Mom. That's a good word. Amen. Anybody else? No? Anybody in the chat room? Anything at all? Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Jan. Amen. Okay, well, God bless you all. I guess we'll shut her down. It's kind of early. Didn't have much this week. I just felt we got to keep encouraging each other, keep bringing the truth out, and keep encouraging each other as the day goes closer. Amen. Well, one last call. Anybody else? Alrighty. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys. All right. Well, God bless you. Thanks for coming. I guess that'll be it. And we'll see you next week, God willing. And we're still here.